Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking gelato, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/issuesETC.
Well, here we are in the realm of some of the most familiar Bible stories. Sad to say, we treat them like stories, don't we? I mean, we probably emphasize more the story nature, the storybook nature of these things when we teach our kids in Sunday school than we should, rather than the history, the narrative. Now, those things, someone's going to say, kids can't grasp that. They have to. They have to have the Bible the way it is, not the way that we would sanitize it, romanticize it, or tone it down for them. And David's an interesting character. If you were going to make a movie of David's life, it would get an R rating, without a doubt, for violence and sex alone. It's not only an interesting story, it is in fact one of the ways that Christ is revealed to us in the Old Testament. I would say one of the primary ways that Christ is revealed to us in the Old Testament. What would the Old Testament be without David? And of course, if we want our children to understand this Christ figure in the Old Testament, we better give them David as he is in the Bible, not as we want him to be. Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us on this Tuesday afternoon, September the 1st. Our regular conversation with her on teaching a Sunday school lesson today, David Becomes King. Pam is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome back.
Hello, Pastor. It's great to be back. We've got a great story to talk about today.
All right. So, undiluted do kids get David in the typical Sunday school classroom?
Well, that's a great observation. I think you're right. Often it is diluted. We've put David quite up on a pedestal. David, the little boy with the slingshot, David the shepherd, David the king, the one who fells the armies and the giants, and we don't like to talk about David the sinner, David who disobeyed God, who repented after denying what he had done, David the human, David who's like us. There is a bit of a romanticizing of him and doing actually what in our text today, God says man does all the time, that, you know, we look on his appearance or his stature, but God sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. We're always looking to those surface things, and from that view, there's a cool factor about David, and it's a favorite one to teach in Sunday school. He's a favorite Sunday school character because we see him as a little boy who becomes a warrior, who becomes a king, and those are things kids can relate to and get excited about. And yet, there's another side to David, the same side that we have, sinners who need a Savior. And how the story really is about how God used him to bring the Savior not only to him, but to us.
All right. I want to come back to David rough around the edges in just a few minutes. But here's the biggest problem I see for trying to fit David Becomes King into a Sunday school lesson for little kids. It's a long story. It takes the writer of these Old Testament books a lot of chapters to get David from even his first anointing as king, which happens when he's a pup, all the way to the palace in Jerusalem.
That's right. There's a few years in between all that.
How do you fit it in?
Well, we're going to cover, I guess you'd call it the Reader's Digest condensed version. We're gonna cover the text in 1 Samuel chapter 16, where it is that he's anointed, the first 13 verses, and then we're going to jump to 2 Samuel, where he actually becomes king as an adult, and where we learn that he was then king for 40 years, so until he was about 70 or so. So this story this week, the best we can do in 45 minutes to convey that David, who last fall we finished up with him with Goliath and David the shepherd boy, now we're moving to this, his anointing and becoming king. And next week we're going to be on another David story, and that'll leap us even further to his sin and Nathan rebuking David well into 2 Samuel. So that's kind of the nature of Sunday school. We touch the high spots and introduce the children to the important people and to God's important actions in their lives for us.
It seems that crucial in the telling of David's rise to the throne is the concept of anointing, which you point out takes place actually three times for David, but it is also that tangible connection with the Christ, the anointed one who is to come. Talk about that.
Well, yes. David is like any of the Old Testament kings or the kings chosen by God. They're anointed. They're set apart. And in David's case, anointed with the Holy Spirit, and that as God's power given to him, God's blessing, God's grace in his life and in his kingship. And, you know, the word Messiah means the anointed one. And so we have that very clear connection, David being foreshadowing as the king, as the one that God put in place for his people, his children, Israel, and then his son, Christ, God's son, who was anointed to be our King and our Savior in so many ways. And it's why we spend so many weeks on the life of David in Sunday school, because there are so many foreshadowing, so many ways that David is a type of Christ and pointing to Christ, the ultimate shepherd, the ultimate Savior, the ultimate King, the ultimate Redeemer. And this anointing is in both and for both of them, and in the anointing, the Holy Spirit. When we look to Christ and we say, how did God anoint him? And there we look to his baptism in the Jordan, when God spoke from on high and the Holy Spirit descended upon him as a dove. And so very clear for the people of God that this was God saying, this is my son whom I love, and you to listen to him now. And that was the start of Christ's ministry and his journey to the cross for us.
When the people first ask for a king, God gives them, through the prophet Samuel, Saul, along with all the warnings that would be true of all the kings that would follow. And but then, pretty quickly, Saul kind of falls out of favor with God, and God chooses another, but David doesn't become king right away. So how do we explain to children learning this for the first time, why Saul is rejected after having been chosen?
Well, that's a great thing to point out. You know, God sort of grudgingly gave the people the king, Saul. He didn't plan for them to have a king, but they, with their eyes that looked upon the other nations and seeing all the other nations with kings, they thought this was something they should have, something that they wanted, and they begged God for a king. God didn't want to give them that, but he gave in to their wishes and said, you know, okay, you're going to get a king, but it's not going to be all roses like you might think it would be. And his kingship started out good, but through sin and the consequences of Saul's sin, there was a crumbling of his kingship, and his ability to lead the people. And eventually God took his blessing away from him and really resulted in the ending of his kingship. And then this time we have after Saul dies and the selection of David, and a very interesting story in how David is picked, because once again, the people think they know what they need. They think they know what God's going to do. They think they've got it all figured out, and how much that is like us in our everyday lives, or as the people of God in the church or in the world. And God, once again, surprises them with how he presents and selects the new king.
When we come back from this break, we'll continue our conversation with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. Our conversations with her every Tuesday on teaching a Sunday school lesson are based upon Concordia Publishing House's Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. We're talking about David Becomes King. You can join us on this Tuesday afternoon, the 1st of September, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us with questions or comments at issuesetc, at issuesetc. After about another 15 minutes or so, in hour two of Issues Etc. today, we'll talk about gay marriage in Vermont. It is now not only legal, but official. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse of the Ruth Institute will be our guest a little later. The Issues Etc. comment line, we'll hear your comments from our comment line on this Tuesday afternoon. Then Dr. Andrew Steinman joins us for the last half hour of the program. We're going to talk about Joshua. He's another one of those figures in the Old Testament that's hard to sort out. He's, of course, the successor to the great prophet Moses. But Joshua isn't so much a prophet as a military genius and a general. And he's not a king, but he certainly is their leader. He's kind of like the judges who follow him. We'll talk about this Old Testament saint with Dr. Andrew Steinman of Concordia University Chicago in the last half hour of Issues Etc. today. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. More on David Becomes King after this.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit theclcc.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.
All right, so you missed your congregation's budget deadline, or your congregation turned down your request to join the Issues Etc. 300. Well, there's still a way to add your church to the Issues Etc. 300. Now, anyone who pledges $1,000 to Issues Etc. in the next year will add their congregation to the Issues Etc. 300. We'll promote your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc., and we'll publicize your congregation to the world.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, David Becomes King, on this Tuesday afternoon, the 1st of September. Pam, before the break, you said that when David finally, at long last, is officially chosen as king, God does it in a way that, well, I guess the phrase is that becomes operative here is that while man sees what is what man can see, God looks into the heart. Talk about that, if you would, in the context of David becoming king.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first part is rather obvious, isn't it? We can only see on the surface as God's people, and so often we make those judgments based on appearance or how we see a person act or whatever, and we make swift judgments and we share those judgments. God, though, looks beneath the surface as only God can, and he looks into the heart. And that comes through here. It comes through in other texts in Scripture where it's very clear that God doesn't look at these surface things or what seems obvious or what seems clear to all. But God is looking at the heart, and he's, I think, in particular, looking at a heart that trusts God. Not a perfect heart, not a sin-free heart, not anything like that, but a heart that is faithful to God who promised to send a Savior for sin. And in that faith, then God sees a perfect soul, one that is beautiful inside and out. But it isn't because of that one, it is because of Christ in him, the Christ who that person trusts for salvation. And so that's what's going on here. David's heart isn't any better than yours or mine or any other person's heart in himself, but it's a heart of faith, a faith that clings to, in his case, the promise of the Messiah, the Savior of sin. Our hearts are clean as we cling to the Savior Christ who saved us from sin, and we too look beautiful inside and out. And that's something we want to drive home to our children Sunday. It's not about David being a cool shepherd boy and a giant slayer and a great warrior and, you know, a great king. It's because of Christ in him through faith.
Well, and he's obviously no moral example. I mean, the story of David and Bathsheba is the one that's always raised with him. But if you read the narrative of David carefully, you realize
there's more.
Well, and even in the end, when he finally is on the throne and he wants to build God's palace, the temple, God says, not you, because you got blood on your hands.
That's right.
You have been a man of violence, and he's known primarily and actually heralded among the people for his sometimes astounding acts of violence.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And, of course, in this lesson this week, we haven't gotten to all of that, but that's going to unfold for the children as we go through this fall quarter. And that's kind of the key to help them see David was a man like any of us, a human who needs a Savior because he's a sinner. And yet God chose him and worked through him and really gave him quite a high honor to be the first lesser David, the king who foreshadows the greater Jesus, the Son of God, who would be ultimately in his human ancestry. David is the forefather of Christ and part of his family line, and Christ is his descendant. And so many parallels between these two, so that it really takes our eyes off of David the human and points us to Christ. In every way, this David, the king, the shepherd boy, all of the things that he was, not adequate, but pointing to one who would fulfill these things in full and great measure and in final measure for us, and that being God's Son. And, you know, the parallels so simple as that both of them out of a backwater town like Bethlehem, both of them having to suffer persecution before they could or suffer persecution, suffer trouble, and wait before they could take their crown. And you see that in Christ coming into Jerusalem and the suffering that he had to endure before the crown of thorns was placed on him as our King and Redeemer. So many important connections to point out to the children about this David really being about Christ, Christ for us.
David did seem to grasp, in spite of all of his faults, what it is God was actually calling him to do. He talks about it being taken from shepherding flocks to shepherding God's people. And this seems to be, for David as king, the primary way he understands God's call to him in that office. That is, as a shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that, as you would with the kids.
Well, we've got to help children understand first what a shepherd does. And in a rural area, that's easier done than in a suburban or a urban area. But the idea that a shepherd is put in place to guard, to protect, to care for the sheep. And his sole job is to keep each sheep as part of that herd safe and unharmed, and to bring them back home after their day of grazing or their time out in the wilderness. And David sees that his job as king is to keep God's people together, to guard them, to protect them, to defend them against enemies and threats. And he proves to be quite good at that. And in, you know, from the early episode of him as a boy against Goliath, that faith comes through that he's not afraid of this big giant or his big army, because he believes that he's in the Lord's army, that he has the Lord fighting for him and defending him. And he takes very seriously that that charge to protect, provide for, and carry his sheep home. And again, that points to Christ, who is our good shepherd, who does all of those things for us by his death, suffering and death on the cross, through his resurrection, and now through the word and the sacraments, those things that he gives us, pours out for us, that do indeed give us forgiveness, give us life, give us strength for our days on this earth, and do protect us from the evil one, our great enemy, Satan.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. You can check out Growing in Christ at our website, issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand page, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Pam, next Tuesday, what's on tap?
Next Tuesday, we see Nathan rebuking David after his great sin with Bathsheba and all that goes with that. And we'll want to talk about how we teach this story to all ages in the Sunday school. A little delicate, but an important story for the children to understand sin, repentance, and forgiveness, and the absolution, the forgiveness that comes from God.
Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
When we come back from this break, it's hour two of Issues, Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, the 1st of September. Gay marriage in Vermont will kick it off. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute will be our guest. We'll hear some of your comments from the Issues, Etc. comment line for a few minutes after that, and then we'll round off today's program, a half-hour conversation, remembering, along with the church, the Old Testament saint Joshua, who is a bit of a puzzle in and of himself and makes multiple appearances in the Old Testament. Actually, another connection with Joshua might also be simply his name, which is a name he shares with our Savior. We'll talk about that in the second hour of the program with Dr. Andrew Steinman. Our call-in number for the second hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. Our email address here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address. If you follow us at Twitter, you can find us there, and you can Twitter questions or comments to us at issuesetc, at Issues ETC when we come back, Hour 2 of Issues Etc. David is the one who receives, first and foremost, the promise. Not only the promise about himself, but God wraps up together the promise that he makes to David about his kingdom, his throne. A promise about the son who is coming from David's own body in time and from God the Father, Jesus, the answer to all the promises. And God puts that promise before David in a way that David could easily understand as king, as the man he was called to shepherd the people of God. Your son, one of your sons, will sit forever on your throne. And David must have known that would be a hard promise to keep, and yet he looked ahead and saw that son of his, Jesus Christ, in faith, trusting in him, even though he came only by way of that vague promise, trusting in him and knowing that he was looking in promise at his own Savior. When we come back, Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.